I want to thank my brother tonight and his introduction. It is good to be here in your midst. And like he said, I've been traveling a lot, and I had opportunity in one area to put together this series of sermons, and it seems like sometimes it's hard to get the time to be able to spend what is needed to put together something like this. But I had thought a number of years ago to speak along this similar line, and certainly God's promises to Israel affects every person in this room. And not only Israel, but it affects all. And I want to go back tonight to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis and read a bit about that. It's found in the first four verses. And at this time, Abraham's name was still Abram. And through this one man, such a marvelous set of blessings were pronounced upon people from that time down to our very time today. And we have yet to see the complete fulfillment of all the marvelous things centered around Abraham, and it was promised to him. It also shows what a man of great faith was able to do. So it shows that we too need to work on our individual faith. And I'd like to read here from the first verse of the 12th chapter. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will shew thee. Maybe I'll just read it all and make the comment. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And I've thought on this a lot, and I don't know how many people here would be willing when they're 75 years old to make a new start in a new area. But Abraham, as his name here I said, it was Abram yet, believed God. And through this faithful man, it says all the families of the earth would be blessed. And if you skip on this down a little further in this same reading to verses 6 and 7, it says, And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And I thought of this experience here that he had. And Haran is considerable distance from the land of Canaan. But he traveled southward and came to this land. And then we find as this story goes on, he traveled on further southward and there was a famine in the land. And I think we all know the story of how he went down into Egypt and was there approximately 3 years. And then he left the land of Egypt and Lot and their families and came back to this promised land again. And there began to be strife between the herdsmen of Lot and Abraham. And so he said to Lot, You choose the right hand, and I'll choose the left, or I'll choose the left, or vice versa, I'll choose the right, and you choose the left. And Lot chose the well-watered plain along the Jordan River, and Abram chose the other. And then, as this story goes on, the Lord said to him, says, look northward and look southward and look eastward and look westward. As far as you look, I give this land unto you. And I want to read one verse in the 13th chapter, the 15th verse. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever. And that comes right down to the day in which we live. And no matter what any group of nations desires to do, one day all that land will again belong to Israel. And the world united couldn't stop it, because the Lord has so prophesied it would be that way. And he also said here, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth. And as difficult as it would be to count the dust of the earth, so shall it be in counting your seed. And I'd like to just read one in, well, maybe I'll turn over to the 15th chapter too, because this is another one here that goes along with it. And this is found in verses 5 through 7. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And so because of this man of tremendous faith, he believed the Lord, it was counted unto him to righteousness, he took action and left his own land that he was comfortable in with riches and all that, and did as the Lord commanded him. And because of this, there's some marvelous blessings that have been invoked upon the children of men. And one of them, if we went over to the book of Galatians, if you like the reference, I'm not going to turn to it, but it's the 3rd chapter in verses 6 through 9. It tells Paul, when he spoke to these people of Galatia many years ago, he says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In Abraham all nations shall be blessed, Paul told those Galatian people. They which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so they which be of the faith can be have the same blessing that he had. And I find this a rather significant statement. And I want us to think upon that tonight. And I want to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, because this gives some of the marvelous blessings that were pronounced upon these children of Israel many years ago. Now therefore hearken unto, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them that ye may live. Now he's trying to make it plain here that they must hearken unto all these commandments, these statutes, that they may live. And really, I don't know any people who ever had such a marvelous set of blessings pronounced upon them as the children of the house of Israel had pronounced upon them. It was absolutely beyond my conception of that marvelous blessings that the Lord invoked upon them if they would keep him, keep his commandments and follow him. And it says here, these judgments that I teach you for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye take away from it, but you must keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you. And so the Lord commanded these things years ago of these people. And over on the 4th chapter in the 37th verse, it says, and because he loved the fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight, which his mighty power, out of Egypt. And I think this is another one of the marvelous stories, how the Lord worked with the children of Israel. He brought them by his mighty power out of Egypt. And we're all familiar with the story of the crossing of the Red Sea and the things that led up to the bringing of the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt and all the various 10 plagues that didn't affect them but affected the Egyptian people. And last of all, they were let go and they came to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians thought they'd made a mistake in letting them go. So the Pharaoh got all these chariots, I think it was 600 chosen chariots, and pursued them, and many other chariots. And to see how the Lord works, the children of Israel started to become fearful when they saw the host of the Egyptian army pursuing them. But the Lord worked to their advantage. They came to this sea, and he put a cloud between the Egyptians and the house of Israel, and they couldn't go any further, and on the other side it was a light unto those of the house of Israel. And we know the story, how Moses was told to raise his hand, and the sea divided, and a strong wind blew throughout that night. And we know the story, how the Israelite people passed through on dry ground. And that really even took considerable faith on their part. Even though they murmured from time to time, I don't know how many of us would start passing through a sea of water if there was a wall on one side and a wall on the other. It'd take maybe more faith than we have at the present time. But they did it. And then the Egyptians saw that and began pursuing him through that. And then the Lord again was for these people, because it says he took the wheels off their chariots and they drave them heavily. And some of the Egyptians wanted to turn back. But by this time, the host of Israel was through, and the Lord says, raise your hand, and the water came back over and destroyed all that host that pursued them. Now that's the way the Lord worked for Israel. It all stems back to one man of great faith, Abraham. And even, as I said earlier, every one of us are touched by what Abraham did. According to our personal righteousness, certainly. I would also like to read one more verse here in the 38th verse. He worked by his mighty power to bring them out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art. So where they were going, and we know it took 40 years to get there because of different things, and I'm not going to go into all that tonight. But anyway, when they was going to go in and take the promised land, those people were stronger than the house of Israel. And he says, they're mightier than thou art to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. So these people were given this land for an inheritance. People where other people lived. And I kind of like the way the Lord used to make this possible. You find it in Exodus, the 23rd chapter. And it's in verses 27 through 30. And it shows how the marvelous power of God can work. A little means he used to remove the people who lived in that land. He says, I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. That's what the power of the Lord did to those people. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. And the Lord chose hornets to remove a people from a land. I will not drive them out from before thee in one year. It's just gradually done. He says, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. So if they'd go them all out at once, then the beasts of the field would have multiplied, and it wouldn't have served the purpose of the Lord. But he says, little by little will I drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. In other words, till the house of Israel were strong enough to inherit the land. But the inhabitants were removed by the hornet. And that's the way the Lord chose it. And I know that that would be a completely effective way of moving people from one place to another. Because if there's enough hornets, people will leave. And that's exactly what happened here. In this same 23rd chapter, verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice. Now this, again, the Lord is laying down a way of life for the house of Israel. And what is expected of each one of them? And do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. If you do what I tell you, I'll be an enemy unto your enemies. And an adversary unto thine adversaries. Now I find that would be kind of nice today, wouldn't it? But that was the promise held out to those of Israel. For mine angel shall go before thee. Not only that, the angel of the Lord would go before these people. And bring thee unto the Amorite and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. And he chose the hornet to do it here. He did it. Thou shalt, and here is an important thing that we want to remember. He says, even though I'm doing this for you, he gave them a charge of a thing that they should not do. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods. That is vital. You don't serve their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And we want to remember this for some future things that I will bring in tomorrow evening and other evenings, because these are important factors. You aren't to serve their gods, their images, or none of this. And here is another thing that I find kind of interesting. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And listen to this. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, that is a marvelous blessing. We look out here and find probably everyone here has got some kind of sickness or has had or something like that. He says, I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. You won't even have any sickness. That was one of the blessings. I'll bless you in the bread. And we'll see a lot more as this unfolds tonight, the marvelous blessings that were held out for the children of Israel of old. I want to turn to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. This is found in verses 14 and 15. And some of these things just kind of enlarge a bit upon it. Even though it's repetition, I wanted to make points and to make it a little more plain. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. That's what the house of Israel was said. If you keep my commandments, if you follow me, if you do mine ordinances and all these things, you'll be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And anybody that's raised stock know that that don't happen that way. But there would never be any barren or among their own selves. They wouldn't have any barren. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. Now that's taken in a lot of territory. They wouldn't be sick. And I just wondered, if the children of Israel had followed all this, what the end would have been, we'll never know. But we can't even imagine, no matter how much we would fantasize, what the end result would have been. It would have been a beautiful condition. And we'll put, and he says, I will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt. And evidently when there was down in Egypt, there was a lot of evil diseases. Which thou knowest. So evidently they had them there. Because you know them. He says, you knowest them. Upon thee, but will lay upon you all them that hate thee. But will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So instead of them getting them, the ones that hate them is going to get the diseases. He said he'd be an enemy to your enemies. So we see how the power of the Lord can work. And it all stemmed back to this faithful man called Abraham. In the 6th verse of this same 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people. Now that's what he did for them. Unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Above all of that. But he expected things of them. Let's turn to 2 Nephi 12. It's found on page 158. I really like the way this particular reading is worded. Found in verses 74 through 78. And I will shew unto them that fight against my word and against my people, who are of the house of Israel, that I am God, and that I covenanted with Abraham. I did this. And that I would remember his seed forever. Let's read on a little bit. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that you should suppose that you're more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. Now he's speaking directly here to the people upon this land, but he also speaks to the Jewish people here and all the house of Israel, because it involves every one of them. But he says, you don't need to suppose that you're more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, that's everlast one of the house of Israel, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. And we know the story here. It tells about the Gentiles on this land. At one time our forefathers humbled themselves before God. And by the power of God, they were delivered out of the hands of all other nations upon the face of this earth, who came against them to battle. And he was against them that was battling. That's the way it worked with our forefathers. But as it comes on down through time, we see this Gentile nation has, in many instances, has got far away from God. And this is what he's talking about right here. You need not suppose that you're more righteous than the Gentiles shall be, because it was prophesied that there's going to be some Gentiles that aren't too righteous. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, that's the house of Israel, ye shall all likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, you need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. You don't need to suppose that. Because they aren't. If they follow me and keep my commandments, they're accepted the same as the house of Israel. For behold, I say unto you that as many as the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews as will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be them that repent and believe in his Son, who is the Holy One of Israel. He don't covenant with any except they do that. That means us or any other peoples upon the face of the earth. And I want to go back to this verse 77, and I want to enlarge a little bit upon that one. As many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord. And for a reference on that, I'd like to turn to the book of Galatians, the third chapter. And this is found in the following verses here. I'll give it to you. It's found in verses 27 through 29. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile or Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. whether you Jew or Greek or Gentile or bond or free or black or white or whatever it is, as the Book of Mormon says, male or female, if you repent and are baptized, you're one in Christ Jesus. And listen to 29. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Your heirs are the same promise that he held out to the house of Israel many years ago. So I find that is a wonderful statement that we can take encouragement in, knowing that this promise can reach to all peoples, even though we might not be of the lineage of Abraham, and I'm sure some are. And to say who all is, I'm not even going to attempt to say, because I really don't know. I'd like to turn to 1 Nephi, the 5th chapter. It is found on page 55. Verse 103 through 108. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake unto them, he spoke unto his people here, saying, do you believe that our fathers, who were the children of Israel, would have been led away out of the hands of the Egyptians if they had not hearkened unto the words of the Lord? Do you think this had really happened? And he goes on to say, do you think this would really happen if Moses hadn't been commanded to be a leader of the children of Israel and bring them out of bondage? Do you think it really would have happened? And they were in bondage, and they had burdens grievous to bear. And we know the story of that. Wherefore, in verse 106, ye know that it must needs be a good thing for them that they should be brought out of bondage. Now ye know that Moses was commanded of the Lord to do this great work. And then he goes on to say, the same way the word is commanded by his word that the Red Sea would be parted and they'd pass through on dry ground. So these people here was informed of this marvelous blessing that could be theirs. Now I'm about to get down to the blessings that was held out to the house of Israel. And what was expected of them is found in the Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And I find here some of the most marvelous things ever held out to a people. In verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he talked to these people in plainness. You got to do this in diligence. To observe and do all his commandments, you must do this, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And so this is held out for people. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if you'll just do this. And he'd already told these people earlier, in this land you go, you aren't to bow down to their images. You aren't to worship the words of the gods of wood and of stone. That's one of the things. And then he says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and you'll be blessed in the field. The fruit of your body will have blessings, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and your kine, and your sheep, and all these things, you'll be blessed in them. You'll be blessed in the basket and in the store. All these things holding out unto the children of Israel. And this is one I kind of like. It says, thy enemies that will come against thee, that rise up against thee, in verse 7, to be smitten before thee, they shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So it's outlined here what the Lord can do. And all we got to do is read a lot of places in Scripture. We see how the Lord worked with people, even while David slew the giant with a small stone and a slingshot. None more than the power of God could have done it. And the power of God, this same power was promised unto these people of the house of Israel of old. And the Lord shall command a blessing upon thee and thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thine hand unto. And so whatever they set their hand unto would certainly had to be according to the will of the Lord. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself. Now this is what the Lord was going to do for the house of Israel. A special people. And he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. All this was sworn to them. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by thy name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee. And this is another part that I really find interesting. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. They wouldn't have to worry about that. They wouldn't have to borrow from anybody, but they would have wherewith they could lend. And the 12th verse is one that's always interested me. Having worked in agriculture a lot of my life, I'm interested in this verse especially. The Lord shall open thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thee, unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And so, there's another here that even enlarges a bit upon that. But wouldn't that be marvelous to have the rain in the season thereof? All we have to do is look at our nation in the last few years. Look at it this year. When they wanted to plant, there's getting rain. And then later it gets dry. And a lot of falls, when they want to harvest, they get rain. But what the Lord said here, when you get ready to plant, you aren't going to have any rain. When it gets time to grow, it's going to have rain. When you get time to harvest it, there isn't going to be any rain. That's exactly what he said. And I would like to be able to grow crops under that kind of a condition. Get exactly what a plant needed. No more, no less. And that's what the Lord promised to these people of the house of Israel many years ago. No sickness among them. You'll be blessed in your offspring, your cattle. And all that you settest your hand to do, you'll have the blessings of the Lord on it. And when you go to thinking of God's promises to Israel, there isn't time in one evening to even begin to touch upon that. I'd like to read one from Leviticus, and then I want to come back to this one. And this is found in the 26th chapter of Leviticus. The fact about all these books here has got chapter after chapter, chapter on the blessings of the Lord to the house of Israel. And this is found in verses, chapter 26, verses 3 through 9. And I want to just show this for your information, what could have been theirs. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, this plain, simple to be, then I will give you rain in due season that I already talked about. And the land shall yield her increase. Don't have to worry about that either. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And having been a fruit grower for years, I know what it's like to have a frost and not have any fruit. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have a hail. And yet, these people wouldn't have had any of that. And they'd had the rain when they needed it. What a marvelous condition that would have been. And your threshing shall reach to the vintage. And the vintage shall reach into the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full. Now, these same people were complaining when they first went out of Egypt because they didn't have food to eat. He said, we used to sit down in Egypt and eat till we was full. But now they're having a better blessing than they ever enjoyed in Egypt by far, without persecution and being in bondage. And then listen to this. Wouldn't this be something today? And dwell in the land safely? That's what was promised to them. And I will give peace in the land. It isn't on our world today, is it? In fact, we're just about ready to send some troops over to another area to help them try to maintain a peace. And it says in the scripture in Christ's wordings, and he shall cry, peace, peace, and there shall be no peace. We can read that in the scriptures. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. So there'd be no fear. We can't even imagine a place like that. But this was promised unto a people of old. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. You won't even have any evil beasts. Neither shall a sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. If they come against you, they'll fall. And look at this. I like these odds. And 5 of you shall chase 100. I know no general ever pulled a stunt like that. You know that. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And you know you never saw 100 in our armies today put 10,000 to flight. This is what happened. Of course, we know the story of Gideon of old. What a marvelous thing that was to do. But again, the Lord was with him. And the Lord would have been with these people and would have pronounced it upon them. And your enemies shall fall before your sword, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. So all this was promised unto those of Israel of old. Going back again to Deuteronomy 28, in verse 14, I want to pick it up. Things you shall not do. Because it's going into a land where people served other gods. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So instead of being blessed in the basket in the store, they'd be cursed in the basket in the store. Instead of having blessings upon their offspring and their cattle, they would be cursed in them. And all they would start to do, they would be cursed in them. And going down to verse 20, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. This is what's going to happen to you if you forsake me. And in verse 24, and the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. And that was done. These people did turn from God. It's hard to believe that they could have done it, but they did it. And on down to verse 36 and 37. There's all of this could be read, but I'm just picking some key verses for our benefit. The Lord shall bring thee unto thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And that's exactly what happened. And thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. In verse 64, the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So this was what was said unto these people of old, that they was going to serve other gods if they failed to do this. And this is exactly what happened. And he gave unto them a trembling heart, and they feared for their life. And they had all these marvelous blessings that they could have been partakers of, but they failed to do it. But we find in all this that God is a very merciful God. And I'd like to read from 3 Nephi, the 4th chapter. It's found on page 629. To show how merciful he really is. And this is found in verses 55 through 59. And it came to pass that there came a voice again unto the people. And this was after the 3 days of darkness on this land that we read about at the crucifixion of Christ. And all the people did hear this voice and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, who are the descendants of Jacob, yea, who are of the house of Israel. O ye people of the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and have nourished you all through time. Whenever they served the Lord nourished them. He gathered them in. But let's read on. And again, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, O ye people of the house of Israel who have fallen. Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that dwell at Jerusalem, as ye that have fallen, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. Ye wouldn't do it. You wouldn't avail yourself of this blessing that it could have been yours. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, if ye will repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. So the Lord is still reaching out to this people of old, if they will repent and return with full purpose of heart. So we really got quite a God, I'll tell you for sure. And this blessing can come right down to the Gentile nation that we live upon. Those who repent can be numbered among the house of Israel and come into the same blessings that they receive. It is there. But if not, O house of Israel, if you don't do it, the place of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. And that covenant is already starting to be fulfilled. We know that there are those of the Indian peoples that are accepting Jesus Christ and the whole story with it. So we know it's starting to be fulfilled, but it's only a start because there's much to be done yet. I'd like to read one other from 3 Nephi 9. It's found on page 660. Verses 67 through 69. And this is a thing as just as sure as can be, it will be done. Jesus Christ said to these people of old, and I will remember the covenant which I've made with my people. And I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time. And what is the own due time? When they accept Jesus Christ. That I would give them unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. And it shall come to pass that the time cometh when the fullest of my gospel shall be preached unto them. It will be done. And they shall believe in me, that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. That's what is promised to the house of Israel, that they will accept God. They will accept Jesus Christ forsake, a lot of them accept God, but not Jesus Christ. But they will accept Jesus Christ and pray unto the Father in the name of Christ. And we know what marvelous blessings can be people's if they will but do this. We've been admonished to pray before we accomplish anything unto the Lord, to pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that they that our activities of life might be blessed for our soul well-being. And we know this can be our lot if we will but do it. And so I hope tonight I've brought out a few things on the promises that God had to Israel of old. And they are great promises. And tonight I want to go into the scattering of Israel, but with that I'm going to start bringing in the gathering too. Because the gathering is a thing that I think maybe is of greater interest than any single item for each one of us today. So I feel that part of tomorrow night will be it, and the final night will be centered upon that as well, on the gathering of Israel and the great promises that can be theirs and the things that will take place. It's beyond our ability to even really fully comprehend, but the hand of the Lord will bring it about when these people really repent and come unto God and Jesus Christ. The way will be open, and we're going to see some rather marvelous blessings take place. And for this, I think we can each be thankful.